one more week to cover, and we're going to talk a little bit more about giving with an attitude and a mindset of abundance, about giving in abundance and the blessings of generosity, the blessings you can be to someone else, and the blessings that you may receive as well as you give with faith and obedience. We understand the concept that when we follow Jesus, as we are disciples, as we are followers of who Jesus Christ is, we understand that he redefines what can be done with a little. Jesus Christ redefines what can be done with just a little. I have a story, and you're going to be hearing a lot of stories today, of this principle, this idea of generosity in action. This idea of generosity in action and stories, actual results from actual people that stepped out in faith, were generous with their lives, and God has blessed them and blessed others through them. The first story is about Patty. We're going to call her Patty. All the names were changed to protect the innocent. All right, so that's not her real name. We're going to talk about Patty and her $1. See, Patty was attending a church service, and she heard a message about the power of God and the power of God being able to multiply what you give. The power of God pouring out blessings when you give with a faithful heart. And so she wanted to give to this offering. Her heart was moved. She really felt like this is something important that she needed to give to and be a blessing to. And she looked in her bank account, and there was $5.35 in her checking account. $5.35. So she thought to herself, she said, I'll write a check for $5. That will be my giving. I'll take a leap of faith here, and I'll write a check for $5. And then she thought, well, you know what? That's way too close to the edge. That would only leave me 35 cents in my bank account. That's probably not the wisest thing to do. And so she tailored back her enthusiasm and said, I really want to give more, but I really feel like all I can muster right now is a dollar. $1. And so she gave from the bottom of her heart. She gave with joy, and she said, God, please multiply this to be a blessing to someone else somehow. She was embarrassed. She was ashamed at how little she could give, and yet she wrote this check for $1, and she put it in the offering. Well, later that week at Bible study, she was getting settled in, and before it had started, another family came over to her, another couple, we'll call them the Schmitz. And they said, Patty, we've been praying about this for a long time. We really have been praying on how we can do this and what it looks like, and we really feel like we're supposed to give you this. God has sent us confirmation, and we believe that we need to give you this gift. And they handed her an envelope. And inside was a check written for $1,000. She was blown away. She was speechless. She started bawling uncontrollably. And she couldn't believe the generosity of these people or how God had seen her need, and yet she gave out of her need by faith with joy in her heart, with the right motivation, and God had multiplied it and blessed her 1,000-fold with this gift from the Schmitz. I bet she wished she had given $5 now instead. Joking. But that's not something that always happens, all right? There's no guarantee, nor should we have that, oh, I'm going to give 10 bucks today in the offering because I want $10,000 back, okay? That shouldn't be our motivation. Our motivation should be, I'm going to give because what God has given me. And I'm going to be a steward of it and say, I can bless someone more than I can bless myself with this money. And it's this idea of this principle, this mindset and lifestyle of generosity, something we started talking about last week. This idea that we want to be as a church, and personally, hopefully, it is your desire to lead the way with irrational generosity, with your time, being more generous with the time that you have to offer, the funds, the finances that you get, you earn, that God has blessed you with, or the resources, the stuff that you have or you've purchased or you get. It is our desire to live out this idea. It is blessed, more blessed to give than to receive. This is what we do. This is what we do. We give irrationally. We give generously. We don't have too tight of a grasp on our money but we hold on to it loosely so that when someone is in need, we can give, even though we may be in need ourselves. Because as we'll talk about later, God blesses a sacrificial gift. We also talked about how the fact that everyone gives something, but not everyone is generous. And just because you give, it doesn't mean necessarily that you are a generous person. And that giving and being generous are two very different things. Giving is a good thing to do and you should do it, but having a lifestyle, a mindset of generosity, that's what I'm trying to get across. And not even just with your money, but with your stuff. With the 144,000 seconds you have in a day, how are you spending that time? Are you being generous with it, or are you wasting it away, keeping it for yourself? And this idea comes, the idea that we don't have enough, or we will never have enough to get by, or really do anything, or even we'll never have enough to give more, is this scarcity mindset that consumes American culture. It consumes who we are in America, and many, many people struggle with this or have this idea, this scarcity mindset. See, God blesses, he supplies us with what we have. The scarcity idea says that we consume it, we pay for it, we spend things with it, we spend it, we use it on ourselves to make us more comfortable, and then we ultimately run out of stuff. We have so much, then we spend it, and we're a little short this month. And so we fear. It brings this cycle of fear. And what happens is the fear grips us. And so what do we do after that? We start consuming more. The next time we get something, we consume. It comes in and goes right out on us. This scarcity mindset keeps us locked into this idea of fear. It is a lifestyle, a cycle of fear. I'm going to get more. I'm going to... Sometimes you use your money wisely and store it wisely, not because you want to be generous, but because you're afraid of it going away. Sometimes we store up so much for ourselves here on earth, it doesn't do anything. But when we give it away, we be generous and God's kingdom grows and we become like his son who gave it all away for us. See, the opposite of scarcity is this idea of abundance. This idea of abundance. Abundance says that we give what God has blessed us with. God multiplies that giving and our faith grows. And guess what happens when our giving grows and our faith grows? We are excited and we want to give some more. And it's instead of this idea of spending it on myself, we run out, I get scared. We get more, we spend it on myself, I get scared. This constant cycle, paycheck to paycheck, this cycle of fear, we flip it on its head and say, we get stuff so we can give it away. And when we are generous with our things, when we are generous with our money, God honors that. He multiplies it, maybe gives you back multiple out like Patty did, so you can give some more. You can be a bigger blessing and do more and more. If we hold on to everything we earn, if we keep everything we have in the cookie jar in the basement, you hide it under your mattress, it's not going to do any work. We talked about last week, we have seeds. God has given us seeds, his word says. Seeds don't do anything in your hand. You can have tons and tons of seeds, and man, look at all the seeds that I have. But it's not doing anything. Until you plant it, you lay it in the dirt, you put the soil over it, you care for it and water it, then you see growth, and then you see more seeds that you can plant other places. It's this idea of generosity versus scarcity, abundance versus scarcity. So today I want to talk to you about how to be an abundant giver, because as a Christ follower, as someone who says, Jesus Christ is my Lord, we want to emulate who Jesus is. And what did Jesus do when he was here? He gave. There's how many times in the scriptures where it says, Jesus was tired. He was going to go away and have some alone time. He's a little bit of an introvert, okay? Jesus said, I need some time to recharge. I've been healing people all day. I need some time to get away. But then he saw the crowds and he was moved with compassion for them. And so Jesus, he gave a little more. Jesus came with the intent not to keep his power and his direction and his vision to himself. He came to give it, and he gave his very life for you and I. As a devoted follower of Jesus, we want to emulate that and give away who we are so we can be a blessing to others. And this reflects the heart of God. The fact that Jesus came reflects the heart of God, how generous he is. And so through the word, through stories, through parables, through testimonies, we're going to look at what it means to be an abundant giver, to give abundantly. And the first thing an abundant giver does is gives spontaneously. An abundant giver gives spontaneously. Spontaneous giving is when you see a need and you say, I can meet that need. Someone has a need, someone is hurting, someone is financially struggling. You say, I can meet that need, and you do it. It's a spontaneous thing. It wasn't planned for. Maybe God lays it on your heart to give more and above. Even this morning, someone gave me a spontaneous gift for another church member because they felt the Lord laying on their heart to bless someone else. It's not saying, oh, you have a need. I'm really going to pray for you about that. I'm really going to pray that God does. If you can meet that need, just do it, okay? You don't have to pray, but I'm going to pray about whether I should give to you or not. Okay. Jesus came to give his all. We need to be givers like he was. We need to have compassion and say, I'm just going to do it. It's going to hurt a little. Maybe I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can give you everything, but I'm going to do it until it hurts. I'm going to give of who I am, of my resources, of my time, of my money, because we can meet that. A lot of people give when there's an earthquake or a disaster or there's someone in need like that. How many of you have ever seen a GoFundMe a page on Facebook or something? Someone is raising money or raising funds to help take care of something, or they don't have enough money to do this. They're trying to raise support. Maybe someone has a disease in the family. They're trying to raise financial support for that. A lot of people give to those causes, but many people still don't. They keep such a tight grip on what their money is. They don't let enough of it go enough times to be a blessing to someone else. Samaritan man in the Bible, the Good Samaritan, he didn't start out his day thinking, I'm going to go be a blessing to someone today. The Samaritan man didn't start out his day thinking, I've got all of this cash and I'm just looking to blow it and bless someone today. This was a spontaneous gift, a spontaneous act of generosity. We understand that. I don't think that the Samaritan, if he were selfish every other day out of the week, he would have gone out and given his all to help the Jewish man. As you know, there was a Jewish man beaten on the ground. He was laying in the middle of the street. Some robbers had taken everything from him, his own clothes. He was naked and bleeding. And some of the good guys, pastor, teacher, a priest, walked right by him and said, you know, they probably said, we'll pray for you, man. We'll pray that those wounds get healed. Pray that you get your money back. See you later, okay? I'm sure he smelled pretty bad laying there on the ground. They didn't do the right thing, and they didn't use the resources that they had to be generous. But a Samaritan man, now, you have to understand, there is racial tension back in those days, and the Samaritans were looked at as half-breeds to the Jews. And there was this huge conflict that's going on, this racial conflict all throughout the Bible times while Jesus was along, and way before that, Samaritans versus Jews. They are mortal enemies. They would not have associated with each other. I always say that if a Jew would see a Samaritan walking on the same side of the street as they would cross to the other side and walk on the other side of the street as the Samaritan passed by, just so they wouldn't have to be in the same vicinity. And so the Jews that were listening to this Jesus tell this story, they would have thought the Samaritan was probably the bad guy, right? But this Samaritan, this enemy of the Jew, according to them, he comes, he stoops down, and instead of just saying, I'm going to pray for you, man, I really hope you get better, he bandages his wounds, puts on the pressure compresses where he needs them, sets him gingerly on his donkey, takes him to a hotel, an inn, and says, care for this man. I will pay for all of it. I don't believe he got that way overnight. I believe the Samaritan man lived a lifestyle of generosity. I believe he lived a lifestyle and had a heart that said, I'm going to give back whenever it's needed. And he was able to, because of the blessings he had received, give back in this way and bless this beaten, broken, bloody man in the middle of the street, though he was an enemy, quote unquote. Luke 10:35 says, the next day he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Not only did he bandage him, he said, I'm going to back it up with my resources, my money. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to go above and beyond the call of duty. Last week, I talked to you about the fact that we as a church body, because of your giving, we were able to meet a need in our community and pay from our benevolence fund to help someone who was in need. Well, what I didn't tell you is that when I told this story, let me keep going there. When I told this story, it was moved. Someone in this congregation last week was moved, and they said, "I want to give to the benevolence fund. I want to give to that account so that we can bless more people, and we can bless more people." I said, "All right, if God is laying that on your heart, then by all means, give." And so, what they didn't know, what that person and you didn't know, is that the gift that we were able to give through our benevolence fund, it almost emptied our benevolence fund. It was more than half of our benevolence fund. There was a lot, there wasn't much left over. And it hurt a little bit to give it. I was like, is this really being wise with our stewarding our funds wise? But I said, no, we need to meet this need. It's important and we're going to do it. Well, that person who was moved last week wrote a check that more than doubled the gift that we gave out and more than doubled our benevolence fund just this past week. Because they lived and they caught on to that spark of generosity, they were to give back double fold so that we can bless 2, 3, 4, 5 more families that are in need. So the church can do what the church should be doing and bless people that are in need and that need those kind of resources, because someone caught that spark of generosity. This is what I want the heartbeat of our church to be. This is what I want the heartbeat of your families to be. To give spontaneously because God laid it on their heart to give, you give. Not because God needs it. Not because God's saying, hey, church, I'm a little short this week. Could you guys take an extra offering because I want to make sure I get all the money I need to do my work. God doesn't need it. But you, when you give, it's more about your own point of view, your own life, your own outlook than it is about what God needs or doesn't need. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you give, it's for you. When you give, it's for you. It's for your own faith increase. Another story is about Mindy. Mindy is a lady who plays on a worship team in another church, and she usually stays home because her husband is sick. Her husband is ill. But she decided this week, they had called her up and said, hey, we need someone to lead worship this Sunday. And she decided to be obedient and thought that this was something she could handle. So she came in and she played worship and this Saturday evening service. And what she didn't know is there was a man who came in who God had already been speaking him to increase his tithe. God had challenged him on his heart to increase his tithe by 50%, to tithe 15% instead of 10%. And as this guy was hearing from the Lord also spoke to him in this worship set as he was being blessed by the words and the songs and the praise to God. God spoke to him to give a gift to Mindy, who was leading worship as a guest leader that day. Well, he didn't know anything about Mindy or her situation. He just felt like he was to give. And so he came the next day on Sunday and was able to find her after church and give her an envelope stuffed full of cash. And what he didn't know is that that morning, Mindy was praying because her husband needed a blood transfusion, and she didn't know how things were going to work out. She didn't know where she was going to get all the money from. And God, because this man was listening to what God said, and because he had a heart of generosity, because he'd lived a lifestyle of giving and not holding on to his stuff, God used him to pay for that blood transfusion that her husband needed for this blood disease. He gave spontaneously, and the need was met spontaneously. Mindy cried, there was much rejoicing and praising God, and God used this man to bless her in a way that he never even knew was possible. What is God speaking to you? How is he using you and your heart for generosity? God isn't going to use you. God can't use you if you're trying to hold on to your stuff. If you're trying to just pile it away and stockpile it and save, just for nothing. God wants you to give too. Saving is not bad. That's not what I'm saying. But God wants you to give. Give spontaneously. But we can't only give spontaneously. Because if we only gave spontaneously, if we stockpile all of this cash and say, all right, God, I'm going to give it away whenever you tell me to. Go ahead. We limit what we can do. We limit how much we can give if we just try to wait for the Lord to speak all the time. If we just wait till we feel like this is a good thing to give to. The way to maximize your giving and give as an abundant giver is to give strategically. To give strategically. Everyone here today has a giving plan. Everyone has a giving plan of some sort, but most people, everyone has a giving plan. Some people's giving plans are, I'm just going to give, you know, whatever I feel like it, or whatever's left at the end of the month. That's what I'm going to give. But many times, when you give, when you plan generosity, it shows, first of all, that you're reorienting your whole life around generosity. This lifestyle of giving, this lifestyle of generosity, it starts at the beginning of the year. It starts when you sit down and plan it out. You can do more when you give strategically. Let me tell you something that's confusing. A lot of people don't understand. And that spontaneity does not equal significance. Spontaneity does not equal significance. When you're doing something or giving something on the fly, it doesn't mean it's more significant than if you had planned it out from the beginning. Amen? Just because you're doing something last minute doesn't mean that it's going to be blessed more. Quite the opposite, I think, many times. You see, God didn't just say, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to send my son down. This is a good time. Zero AD, that's a good time for my son to be born. Let's do that and go. It wasn't a last-minute decision. No, from the beginning of creation, since before creation, in the fall of the garden, God said, you will bite her heel, and she will crush your head. He had this plan of his salvation plan from the beginning, from the get-go. God set in motion this from the very beginning. He had you and me in mind from the very beginning of the world. He knew that we would need a Savior. He knew he had the answer, and he knew he was the only one that could fulfill and pay that debt. And so he came. His son Jesus came and gave his all for us. Spontaneity does not equal significance. Spontaneity does not equal significance. Planning is not from the devil. Let me repeat that again. Planning is not from the devil. Okay? Some people, I think, really believe that. If you heard that story from before and you said, I really wish I could give like that. I wish I could give $1,000 to someone. I wish I could be the one to bless someone else. You can. If you said, I wish I could give more, you can if you plan for it. If you start out the beginning of your year and say, this year, I'm going to give $1,000. Whoa. That sounds huge to some of you. How would I do? Where would I find room in the budget for that? I don't know, but you could. And if you plan to set aside so much each month and say, by the end of the year, I will have given $1,000 above and beyond my tithe to missionaries, to the church, to organizations that I believe in. But you can't do that if you're going to just go off the fly and say, you know what? I'll give whenever I feel led to give. you might not actually feel led to give as much. You can make excuses very easily as why not to give to something. But if you already have it planned out in your budget from the beginning of the year and say, whether it's $100 or $50, if that's huge for you, that's huge. You say, this is what I'm going to do. If I need to have a yard sale so I can earn this money that I'm going to give away this year, have a yard sale. Do a fundraiser for Jesus. He likes that, okay? He's not going to, it's all right. When you plan from the beginning of the year, you can give more. It actually shows that it's part of your lifestyle, part of your vision, part of who you are to plan it in. Not just give it when I can or give when I feel like it. And it starts with the tithe. 10% of what comes in goes to God. It's an act of obedience. We talked about it extensively last week. If you weren't here, listen, go to the website, crossroadassembly.org, and check it out. It starts with the tithe. I will give God my first and my best. It's intentional, saying, God, I'm going to give you right off the top, not my last. I'm going to plan to strategically give first. This takes faith. This takes reorienting your life. It takes making changes. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I know in my home, in my house, on payday, we have an automatic check that gets sent to the church, and that's our tithe every week. It automatically goes out. It's an e-check. It's on repeat, so it just goes out every single week. And Bethany and I come here every week because we have to, all right? But we won't put anything in the offering because it comes in, that sounded really bad. But our tithe check doesn't go in the offering because it comes in the mail. So on like Monday, every Monday, we get a check in the mail, and then it gets counted in with the offering because on payday, it automatically goes out. We plan ahead. We set it aside because we know what my pay is going to be, right? You plan it out, set it aside, and said, this is my tithe every week. It's the very first step to being intentional about giving. And then maybe when you are blessed, when you find yourself having more, you want to give a little above and beyond that. Maybe you want to challenge yourself this year and say, I'm going to give $500 at some point throughout the year. It doesn't have to be all at once. And you're going to save a little bit each month and say, this is my giving. What Bethany and I do once again, we have our tithe, which goes out automatically, and then we have a giving fund. And if there's a missions or a giving opportunity and we feel like we should give, we have a discussion, we talk about it because we're married, and we'll give a certain amount to that. But maybe in that, God challenges you to give above and beyond what you've saved. And that's the next category. But let's look at what Isaiah 32:8 says. Isaiah 32:8 in the New Living Translation says this, "But generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity." Generous people plan to do what is generous. They don't always just kind of go. I'm a go-with-the-flow kind of person, naturally. Okay, Carol knows this, all right? It takes a little bit for me to plan ahead and to get those details ironed out. That's my wife, okay? That's why I married her. I said, do you like to plan things out or you go with the flow? She goes, I'm a planner. I said, will you marry me? Okay? Just kidding. But I need her because I am more of the go with the flow person. But to be intentional, and I've learned this in many ways, going through the Dave Ramsey course and understanding Financial Peace University and establishing our budget around the envelope system, planning out what we're going to bring in and then what goes out and where, and keeping track of those things, you plan generosity into your budget. You can plan, and it doesn't make it any less significant if you do that. You plan generosity into your budget because you know you can afford it. And sometimes God asks you to go beyond that. Sometimes God asks your gift to hurt a little bit. And as I said, we'll talk about that in a second. This idea, most people, though, don't plan to give. You plan to consume. How many of you have ever wanted something really bad and you said, all right, I have to save up for this many months and I'm going to put this much away every month so that when those months are up, I can buy this thing in cash. I don't have to take out a loan. I don't have to go into debt over it. I'm going to save up, or I'm going to save up so I can put a huge, when Bethany and I were looking, well, since we were married, we've had a house savings account. And we've been stashing a little bit of money away when we can so that we could put a bigger down payment on our house when that time came. And so while we didn't have the numbers, you know, ran out, we didn't know when we were going to buy a house. It was kind of an obscure in the future thing. Now we did. But we wanted to put down a lot of money up front so it makes our mortgage payment better and all that jazz. But we set aside a little bit because we had a goal. It's easy for us to do that. You say, oh, I want the new game system that's coming out. I really want the PlayStation 4. I know it costs $650 or whatever. I don't know how much it costs. I'm going to put away this much money every month so that I can afford it coming out. I want a new phone. Well, I know I can't afford it outright because it costs $1,000 and it has a little X logo on the back. I'm going to save up this much money per month because I know in this many months I'll be able to afford it and I can buy my phone, right? When you want to buy something, when you want to get something, it's easy to plan ahead. Why don't we do the same thing with giving our money away? Why don't we plan to give ahead of time? Make a commitment to God at the beginning of the year. Say, God, I'm going to give this much money, and then make a plan about it. And then when a missionary comes, or when you feel you need to bless someone, you have something to pull it from. We can give more. We can give more when we strategically, not just spontaneously, give. When you believe that the church exists, the church does not exist for us, but that the church, we are the church and we exist for the world. When that is your mindset, you will become generous, abundant givers. When you live with the idea, a mindset of abundance, how much God has given you so you can give back, it changes your life around. Generous people plan to do what is generous, as our verse says, and they stand firm on it. The third thing, and I've hinted at it several times, I must be just chomping at this point. The third thing is that abundant givers give sacrificially. Abundant givers give sacrificially. And the most powerful example that I can think of in Scripture is Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 41 to 44. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. It's a little rude, isn't it? It's like, oh, Jesus is scoping out everything they're giving. Like, psh, who is he? Son of God? Oh, okay. We'll let him have a slide on this one, I guess. All right. Many rich people, verse 41 continued, threw in large amounts. Verse 42, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples, verse 43, to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. There are two things I notice from this. The first one is that the woman, it doesn't say how old she is. I called her an old woman, and I apologize in first service. The woman, no matter how young or old it is, she was poor. She gave so much in these two copper coins, and it moved the heart of Jesus. Jesus wasn't moved by all the rich, wealthy people that gave, throwing in their stacks of dollars, rubber banded around, writing a check, and then letting it float gently into the offering bin, all right? Showing up just enough time so people can see the zeros on the end of their check, okay? Jesus wasn't moved by them. They gave so much. They gave generously, perhaps. Well, but not as generously. What moved the heart of Jesus, what moves the heart of God, is when we give out of our lack. When we give and it hurts a little bit. When we give sacrificially. When we give sacrificially. The second thing I notice is that Jesus didn't stop her from giving. If I was the pastor on call that day, If I was the one watching all of the people give, I would have ran over, whoa. No, you don't have to give. Just keep it. Buy a little extra milk for yourself this week. Don't worry about it. All these people, they gave enough. But Jesus didn't stop the lady. He didn't stop the widow from giving. He allowed her to reap the benefits and the blessing of the giving. Jesus didn't rob her of that. He celebrated her gift. She had given more than anyone else. She gave out of sacrifice, out of her generosity, out of her lack. Out of what she didn't have, she gave a little bit. And Jesus said, because this woman has given out of little, she is blessed. She is favored. When we give sacrificially, it moves the heart of God. God sees that and he loves it. I have a video that I want to show you of a high school student. And the way that God has touched his life and spoke to him in giving out of his lack, in his sacrifice. Check it out.
I'm 18 years old. Basically, I got baptized 2 weeks ago here at Victory. And a couple days after I got baptized, I was just driving in my car and I felt the Lord just said on my heart, you need to give over and above your tithe this week. And I had $100 in my bank account and I was already planning on giving $10 of that for tithe. Basically, I just felt the Lord say that to give $40 of that over, so to give 50. And I was like, God, is this you? Like, I don't have this money. Like, I need to spend this money for stuff for school this week. I have two jobs right now, so I've been working a lot, but I also am taking 21 hours at TCC. I gave it away, and it was hard because I've been trying to save up for ministry school for next fall. So I've been like, I have thousands of dollars to save for that. So it wasn't easy to give it away initially. So I gave it away, and then I came into work, and the owner came up to me and was like, Judah, I just want to give you this bonus check. Like, it's not your paycheck, but I just really am grateful for all the work that you've been doing. I like didn't look at it till a couple hours later, and I looked at it and it was for $200. And I was like, are you serious? Like, this is totally the Lord. Like, I wanted to like ball/dance at the same time. It was just super awesome and I'm super excited. I just felt like the Lord was telling me that he's gonna be faithful and that he sees my needs and he will take care of them. No matter that I'm only 18, like he still sees like what I'm going through and that he will supply my needs.
That 18-year-old gets it, the heart of generosity. Not only was he obedient to listen to what God had to say, you know, because of that, God blessed him. He reaped the reward because of it. My question to you is, when is the last time you have given sacrificially? When is the last time that it hurt a little bit to give? My challenge to you is to do it. God says very clearly in Malachi, test me in this. Finances is the only area that God says, test me. See if I don't pour out the storehouses, open the floodgates of heaven in your favor. But we don't do that because we can get more stuff. If we go to God with the giving and saying, all right, this is only $5 I have. Okay, floodgates. Waiting. We give so that when God blesses us, we can give even more. We give because we have a desire to give. We need to give not because we feel guilted into it. The Bible says very clearly that is not why we give at all. We give because we understand that, first of all, everything we have, none of it is ours. God has given us everything, every resource, every dollar. We didn't earn it. It was blessed to us. God allows us to have it and to steward it. Are we giving it away? Are we giving enough of it away? Are we giving and it doesn't really hurt? It doesn't really even bother us at all. I want to challenge you to give sacrificially. Give spontaneously when the Lord calls it upon you. And to give strategically. Plan it into your lifestyle. See that God does not open up the floodgates of blessings in your home. And when he does, give some more. When we do that, we start this cycle of abundance. We start this cycle of greatness where God gives, God blesses us, we give, he multiplies it, our faith is built, and we're like, yes, let's do it again, over and over again. And you get to bless so many people. But the big question, the big reason, the big underlining why at the end of this, why? It's not because I need money. It's not because the church needs money. It's not because God needs money. We do it because Jesus did it for us. Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8 says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus Christ laid down everything for you and for me. We, as followers of him, need to act in the same way. Jesus Christ, God himself, came down to this earth and said, I'm not going to worry about my position as Godhood because I'm going to humble myself, become a dirty human, someone down here on this earth where people hate and they are greedy and stingy and selfish. And God says, I'm going to go down to be like one of them, though he didn't sin, and I'm going to give my all, my very life for them. That is why we're generous. If we're not followers of Jesus, if we don't know who Jesus Christ is, then what is their reason to give? We give because we can make other people happy, I guess. Because people need money. But as Christians, as believers, as one who claims to put their faith on who Jesus Christ is, we don't have an excuse why not to give. Jesus laid it down for us. Why do we hold on to it so closely? Why do we not live a lifestyle of generosity? As we close in prayer today, that is my challenge to you. Once again, how are you living a lifestyle of generosity? Do you give spontaneously? First of all, are you connecting with God? Do you hear his voice so he can speak to you so you can even hear him? Do you give strategically? Do you plan it into your lifestyle? And do you give sacrificially? Are there moments when you say, God, I'm going to give above and beyond what I normally do, what I feel like I can handle, because I really feel God is blessing me in this direction? It's not about special offering. It's not about getting more or wanting more. It's about your relationship with God. It's about your content of your lifestyle and how is it emulating who Christ is. That's what this is about. Let's bow our heads and pray today. As you do that, I really feel led to this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the motivation to give, to live a life of generosity, is non-existent. So I want to ask you, if you do not know Jesus today, if you don't have that relationship with him, I want to give you that opportunity to do that today. I want to give you that opportunity to become right with him. And hopefully, as you grow, you'll be on to take on this idea of generosity. It's something you can do tomorrow. But if that's you today and you need to have that relationship, it's something you don't know, you've never accepted him into your heart, you just slip up your hand right now. Dear Father, we thank you today, Lord, for all that you give us. Lord, we thank you for the enormous blessings that you pour out into our lives. Father, we are more blessed than we could possibly imagine. We are more blessed than we deserve, Father, and for that we give you all thanks and all worship. Lord, but more than the resources, more than the stuff that we have, more than the money, Lord, you've given us yourself. You've given us your very Son, who gave his life for us, who came down here not to be served, but to serve others. Lord, and as we try to imitate that in our lives, as we try to imitate what you do for us and did for us, Father, Lord, help us, challenge us to give strategically, to plan it, to make generosity be a part of our everyday life, to be part of our yearly goals, our commitment. Father, speak to us so that we give spontaneously. Lord, and challenge us to give sacrificially. Lord, not for organization, not for a church, Lord, but for you. For when we give, Lord, it is a prayer, it is an act of worship to who you are. Lord, just challenge us today. Let our lives become about generosity, not about holding on to how much I can, but about giving back. And Lord, see that you don't pour out those floodgates for us. We love you today. We thank you in your precious name. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless.